Coming up, it is officially the NFL draft week, and the New York football Giants have big decisions to make. We talk about the potential frenzy at the top as the Denver Broncos are eager, maybe along with the Minnesota Vikings, to move up for a quarterback. But most importantly, top 30 visits. Why do they matter so much, specifically when it comes to Joe Shane and the Giants? We break it all down coming up next. Yes, sir. It's OGP, the One Giant Podcast, where you know that we are your host. Over here, Adam Armbrecht. Over there, Andrew Mackowitz. We're healthy, we're wealthy, we're wise, and we are in draft week officially. A lot that we want to get to here, Andy, specifically around the top 30 visits, how important they've been to Joe Shane's era for New York. But before we do, there's this QB frenzy. The top four picks of the NFL draft have all been building up. And I'm curious if you'll agree with me about how the Giants could still end up kind of missing out on the entire journey to who's going to land J.J. McCarthy.
It is going to be interesting. Obviously, you're hearing all the rumors about the Giants liking J.J. McCarthy. Jordan Renan's podcast, Adam, we were talking pre-show. They did a really good job breaking down that the Giants like him. If he's there, they will take him. It's just a matter of, like, will they move up? Do they have the ammo to move up? Will he be there at six if they stay? It's interesting specifically around J.J. McCarthy, because it feels like the top of the draft is starting to solidify itself, at least with Caleb Williams going one. It seems like Jaden Daniels is trying to force his way out of Washington, but like, he doesn't really have a choice. Like, he can't just say, I want to go to the Raiders to be with Antonio Pierce. Like, that's not how the draft works, but it feels like the first couple of spots are going to be solidified. And to everyone's point, it feels like the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks. Maybe the top four picks are going to be quarterbacks. And that's where it gets interesting for the Giants, especially with the speculation that's coming out of Denver, right?
Yeah. And we already knew that Minnesota made their move. They have 23, they have 11. So they feel like they were positioned to maybe make a big move if they wanted to in the draft. But then over the last couple of days, at the end of last week, it started to come out that Denver Broncos are putting together a real package. They want to get up there. They want to get the fourth quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, and they're willing to offer the 12th overall pick this year, a first-round pick next year, and, interestingly for the New York football Giants, who happen to need a cornerback, Patrick Surtain II, all in an effort to get up the board. Point stop right there. Very enticing package, right? I mean, like, most Giants fans across social media were like, yep, we'll do it right now. All of a sudden, I think you and I included, we're like, listen, we love Roma Dunze, but if we're talking about getting an extra first round pick and a starting cornerback, I think we have to reevaluate our priorities.
You know, not even just a starting cornerback, multi-pro bowler, all pro cornerback. Awesome, right? Like, you're basically saying, like, we get an elite talent across the side of the field from Deontay Banks. Yeah, send the paperwork, Joe. Send it in. We're all excited about it. But I think as we were getting excited and you see how lopsided and everyone was saying, like, yeah, the Giants should do this. You brought up an interesting point about what probably removes the Giants from even having this type of conversation.
Yeah, I jump in the waters with this, but, you know, almost probably 90% of the time, right? And then I'll back myself off for a second and decide whether or not I really love Roma Dunze and all that type of stuff. But if you're talking about coming up for the quarterback, it seems odd to me that it would be enough for the Denver Broncos to say, we move to six. Well, what's Minnesota doing? Minnesota's not involved in this process here. At some point, the reason why the significant package is being made is because you want to get as high as humanly possible. And it seems like the Arizona Cardinals pick number four. That's as high as you're going to be able to go. It's a race to get to four. It's not a race to get to the middle of the top 10 picks and then wait to see what happens with Arizona, wait to see what happens with the Chargers. So I think, unfortunately, this feels like, unless we're talking about a different team coming up for a Joe Alt, because there have been rumors that teams want him, I think that's going to be the more likely discussion we have as we work towards the draft. Are the Giants a viable candidate for the New York Jets to come up and trade with, right? A team that wants to add to their offensive line. If you're talking about coming for the quarterback, it's going to be pick four. It's going to be the Arizona Cardinals, and it's going to be a race to who gives them the best package. I can't see the world where the Giants are sitting there at six and magically, unless Arizona says we're not going anywhere and we want Marvin Harrison Jr., then the Chargers. We're not going anywhere. We want Malik Nabers. We want a Dunze. We want Joe Alt. Whatever it is, it just seems like a different team one of those two is going to be more open for business, and it's going to make it hard for the Giants to sit there. It's out of their control. They can't do anything to entice the Denver Broncos to trade with them as opposed to another team.
Yeah, having two teams in front of you that feel solidified at the quarterback position with the Cardinals and the Chargers, it feels like they'd be more willing. And teams have the ammunition. If you look at the trade charts, 11-23 can get you the fourth or fifth pick. What they're offering with the Denver Broncos should be able to get you up to four. So to your point, it is more likely that a team would trade up for Joe Alt or even someone as crazy as Brock Bowers, knowing that the Titans, there's been whispers that the Titans love Joe Alt and they love Brock Bowers. If you really want him, you probably have to leapfrog the Titans at number seven. The draft compensation in Hall to be able to move up from one of those guys is probably going to be significantly less than it is to move up to, say, four to get your quarterback in the future.
Of course. And the last note on this too here is maybe if you're talking about being in the camp of wanting J.J. McCarthy, there is the world where these teams want to move up and Arizona and the Chargers, they say, yeah, it's such a nice offer. And these packages sound too good to resist. It's such a nice offer, but we want Marvin Harrison Jr. That's such a good offer, but I want Joe Alt. Maybe there is the world where the Giants are sitting there at six and J.J. McCarthy and Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze, they are all there for them to make decisions about. And then that would open up potentially the caveat. But again, then you talk about Titans, you talk about Falcons, you talk about Chicago. It's a very interesting group there once you get to the Giants and moving back. So we'll see how it plays out. That's the footnote about this. The more important conversation we want to start having here on a Monday is the top 30 visits, Andy. This is your department doing the research on Joe Shane specifically, going back to last season, even a little bit into 2022, and why the players that come in for these visits, as we've seen from other people around X, really matter to how we can start to carve out a path for the draft for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, so I started thinking about the top 30 visits and how Joe Shane is approaching it. And people may say, like, why is it important? A lot of people have the misconception that top 30 visits is basically like, okay, the Giants take their draft board and they invite the 30 best guys in at this moment in time. What top 30 visits allow you to do, Adam, is to maybe see players that you are thinking about in a later round. Maybe you want to check their medicals. Maybe you just want to get more comfortable with certain players later on in the draft. And, you know, top 30 visits, some people may say, oh, it's smoke and mirrors. Maybe they're just kind of trying to throw people off the scent by the people that they're bringing in. Joe Shane seems like a genuine and authentic guy, Adam. And the way that he's approached top 30 visits before suggests that a lot of these players, at least a few of them that have come in, will be New York Giants after the draft. And I say that confidently because just look at last year's draft and look at last year's top 30 visits, Adam. From those top 30 visits, players that the Giants ended up selecting are Deontay Banks, Jonmichael Schmitz, Jalin Hyatt, and even someone like Trey Hawkins. So out of the top 30 visits, four of those players last year ended up being New York Giants. That's like a quarter of the players that are coming in. Clearly, a lot of the guys that are being brought in are going to be future New York Giants, especially when you look at who they brought in this season.
Yeah, and we're going to get into today talking about QBs, talking about the wide receiver rooms. Then it gets interesting, and we'll allude to this about the other positions that have been brought in here. But then more specifically, as you say, because it's not about, oh, the elite talents that you're trying to bring in. It's just about getting yourself in front of these players, having conversations, dinners, otherwise, and seeing how they make fit, and then setting the table for the entire spectrum. First round, all the way to the last round, and even into undrafted free agent rookies. And positionally, there starts to be a bit of a roadmap here that we can look at the draft and say, it's probably likely that the Giants are looking to do this at the top. These positions do not seem to matter nearly as much when you get to the middle rounds. And it does make it a little bit easier, I think, to start to look and say, what do they intend to do in order to craft a roster coming out of this draft that's going to make a lot of sense for them? We'll start to get in. We're going to start with QBs, but any final top 30 notes you want to hit before we dive in?
Yeah, two quick notes. If you look back to 2022, Joe Shane was consistent again, Adam. Three of the top 30 visits ended up being New York Giants. That's Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, and Cordell Flott. So you see Trey Hawkins was drafted late. You see Cordell Flott was a mid-round pick. Jalin Hyatt was a mid-round pick. It's not just the top first or second round picks that Joe Shane's bringing in. He's shown that he wants to be able to see it. And the last thing I was going to say is, as you mentioned, it informs a lot of where they're thinking about certain players and, you know, that potentially could be drafted. Look at last year when the Giants selected Deontay Banks at 24. They also brought in guys like Joey Porter Jr., who went 32nd, Cam Smith, the cornerback out of South Carolina, was selected 51st, and Emmanuel Forbes went 16 to the Washington Commanders. He came in for a top 30 visit. So you can see that Joe Shane has an approach where like he bunches players at certain positions, thinking tactically how the draft board may play out. It's why we want to focus in these specific positions, because I think who he's bringing in and how he's bringing them in informs a lot of where Joe Shane and the New York Giants are at.
That's why coming up here in a second, QB room. Yes, top of the draft, JJ McCarthy, all of the buzz, but the Giants and Joe Shane have seen just about everybody that they could possibly take at the position. We'll dive in on how that plays itself out, plus the wide receiver rooms, all coming up in just one moment. Okay, so as we dive in on the QB conversation, we remind you today's episode is brought to you by Pytential, P-I-E-T-E-N-T-I-A-L. That spells Pytential.com. It's an online assessment tool, basically a simple survey, free for individual users, that goes ahead and gives you a wellness assessment. It sets benchmarks, gives you tools to improve, and also tracks your progress over time. It's a really great, from a lighthearted way, tool that all the wide receivers and owners and coaches should be using during the NFL draft, but on a personal level, something that you can use day to day, week to week, month to month, to make sure that you're checking in with yourself and progressing along your little life journey in the best way possible. Check out Pytential, P-I-E-T-E-N-T-I-A-L, today. Okay. So beyond all of these top quarterbacks, and even though we know they did their due diligence as well on Drake May, and every single person has been into this room, when we talk about quarterbacks and we talk about top 30 visits, the Giants essentially brought in every human being under the sun, Andy.
They did, Adam. It's funny that you say that, because I've been someone that's kind of been like, oh, it's a little bit of a smokescreen. Joe Shane is just bringing these guys in. You know, I'm here, hand up, to admit, after going through all the top 30 visits and seeing that, like, you know, they saw JJ McCarthy not also at the combine. They went to his pro day. They brought him in for a top 30 visit. They had they made pancakes with JJ McCarthy's family. Like, yep. Clearly, you don't spend that much time and do this much homework if you're not actually serious about addressing the quarterback in the draft. So, you know, hand up, I kind of thought it was a little bit, maybe he's trying to give the illusion so that he gets more power and people want to trade up into six. I kind of don't believe that anymore, because as you mentioned, Adam, it is not just about the top three guys in terms of Caleb Williams. They didn't even bring him in because he's presumptive number one overall pick. They obviously brought in Jaden Daniels and Drake May. But Adam, they also brought in the next three or four guys on NFL draft buzz in terms of ratings, in terms of Michael Penix Jr., JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix, and your favorite prospect in the draft, Spencer Rattler. And so when you bring in all seven of the top guys on NFL draft buzz, clearly your intent is to figure out if you can address it not only in the first round, but potentially after pick number six.
Yeah. So I think it's fine that the Giants, not fine, I guess it's informative the Giants bring in all these players. Top of the draft, JJ McCarthy, that's been all the buzz of late. We said Drake May got a little bit of traction for a while there, but it seems like he's cemented as being one of the top three, obviously. So, okay, JJ McCarthy. And when you go over to NFL.com and look at the prospect grades, which, hey, if I'm going to trust somebody, I'll trust the organization, a 6.40 prospect grade. So effectively, when you talk about breaking down like where these players slot into, a 6.40 is just above of, will eventually be a plus starter. By the way, I find something really interesting about when you get into 6.40 to 4.9, will become a good starter within 2 years. That's a nice timeline for a JJ McCarthy. 6.5 to 6.6 though, Andy, that's boomer bust territory. I don't know why I'd rather than be lower. Don't be a 6.5 to 6.6 prospect, because apparently it increases the likelihood that you could be a bust. So JJ is in that range. Within 2 years, young quarterback, he can be there and develop into a starter. But what's interesting is that Bo Nix out of Oregon is a 6.39 prospect grade. And here he's being talked about, would someone sneak into the back end of the first round to take him, right? Is there value there for this player if you think you have a franchise quarterback on your hands? After that, though, the Spencer Rattlers of the world, 5.95 prospect grade. That's an interesting territory for me, where I have to ask the question, the confidence that we have in Brian Daboll is a bit of a QB whisperer. Do I need to adjust my mind to what any mid-round quarterback could be for this team relative to their age and what seems to be a journeyman backup kind of talent? That's my concern here, because after you get after maybe Bo Nix, let's say, I don't know if Penix Jr. is in that mix, but I think he's going to end up going somewhere in the mid-first. What are we talking about? Wasting a fourth or fifth round pick on a guy that like is going to be the new Tommy DeVito. I'm not putting Spencer Rattler into that category, but it does raise my eyebrow with how much they've invested in looking at QBs.
You know, it's funny because you looked at NFL.com. If you look at NFL Draft Buzz, which is a website that I know you and I really like, the way that they break things down and they categorize things, it makes it very palatable and easy to discuss on a show like this. You know, when you look at how they have everyone rated, they have Caleb Williams rated as a 93.5. That is like out of this world good. When you look at Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and even Michael Penix, they're all within a point of each other from 90.9 to 89.8. Then J.J. McCarthy drops down about almost 2 points, a point and a half, 2 points to 88.1. The next in line is Bo Nix that goes down another half a point. But then Spencer Rattler, to your point, is an 82.9. He is so far away from Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, et cetera, that he is like an outlier. So what you have to think, if the Giants end up taking someone like Spencer Rattler, this is a multi-year development. This is not expecting
he's almost, and he's already over 23 years old. And he's already over 23 years old. That's my biggest problem here. If J.J. McCarthy, if these guys lived in the same kind of pocket, you know, third, fourth, fifth round, you say, oh my God, a 21-year-old quarterback a couple years away, not a problem. Spencer Rattler, if you're going to talk about developing a quarterback, not to cut you off, sorry, Andy, if you're going to talk about developing a quarterback and he's going to be your starter when he's 25, listen, I get it. NFL QB careers are long. You could still play for 15 years from that point, but it just seems like an odd investment, you know, given the pedigree higher in the draft with some of these quarterbacks.
You know, it's also interesting that you say that too, because NFL.com has Bo Nix a little bit higher. Obviously, NFL Draft Buzz has Michael Penix higher than J.J. McCarthy. You know, J.J. McCarthy's projection is like the, you know, 32nd player. They kind of have him as a back end first round guy, which is also where Bo Nix is, which is also where Michael Penix is. It is really strange to me. And this is why maybe you and I aren't as high on J.J. McCarthy as others, is like every one of these breakdowns is basically saying we have him in the same tier as these types of players around the back end of the first round. And people are talking about giving up multiple first round picks to get up to four to get him. I don't know what it is. Like, I mean, we talked about this off the show. Like, we watch film, we watch breakdowns, but we're not grinding the X's and O's as much as some other people are. But a lot of smart people are telling you this is kind of where I have J.J. McCarthy. Even like Mel Kiper Jr. has him as his like 16th or 17th best prospect. And that's moved up from where he had him in the 30s because of all the hysteria. Why, Adam, what is it? Is it just that J.J. McCarthy is young? Is it just that people are trying, like seeing in small samples that he was good? Like, why is it that there's such a wide range on J.J. McCarthy over every other prospect?
From everything that I've read and listened to, from guys that are connected to GMs and talk to GMs around the league. I listened to the Jordan Renan podcast the other day. He had on a guest talking, hey, I talked to a GM out of the combine, talked to a GM as these press conferences were going on, all this stuff. The general consensus is that J.J. McCarthy, we know this, the system in Michigan did not ask him to do a lot. So from a prospect standpoint, you're like, oh, he can't do those things. Most NFL people are saying, oh, he can, he just didn't have to. And they couple that with what is believed to be like high level intangibles, that this kid is a leader. He's great in the locker room. Like, he's everything from a personality standpoint, right? On, off the field, all those little silly, you know, silly stuff. When you talk about, hey, can the guy throw the football? Can he scramble? Can he move on the run? You know, whatever. Can he go through progressions? Like, that's what we think about as being important, because we watch quarterbacks not do that for the Giants for a number of years. So it's all that other stuff, I think, that put him already into the conversation. And then at least from what you read in here, NFL minds all think that he is going to be X. It's everybody around it that, like you say, when you watch the tape and you compare them, you just go, well, I just see more from these other guys. I think the age matters. There's young guys at the top here too. Like, right, Drake May is also young. But I just think it's like, he's 21 years old. By the time he's 23 and we get our hands on him, we're going to turn him into a high-level quarterback talent.
Yeah, you're totally right. And that's the thing, is when we don't see the production or we don't see him making all those throws constantly, you say, well, that's because Michigan knew something and they wanted to limit his exposure in order to win games. What NFL scouts are saying is, no, he can make all the throws. But Jim Harbaugh's systems, he said, I have the best offensive line in football. I can ground and pound into winning football. Why put the ball at risk? Will only do it at certain times. So they're saying J.J. McCarthy can make all the throws. They just chose not to do it. And that's such a hard part for people like us that are trying to break this down, being like, really? They say that he can do everything, yet they didn't let him do everything. Who's telling the truth and who's not?
Right. And then you win, and then you win a bunch of football games, right? And you're like, well, isn't that what matters most? Like, he helped the team win games. In the end, when it comes to this, what I will say is you go over and look at all of the quarterbacks that were brought in. Mentioned Bo Nix, brought in Michael Penix Jr., brought in Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler effectively represents the lowest ranked quarterback that they brought in. So using Draft Buzz for the model here, 117, fourth round, 117. That's the overall range that we're talking about. So when we talk about top 30 visits, talk about constructing the board here, what we can say is the Giants look like they definitely want a quarterback here. Although I think we both thought, you know, smoke and mirrors to whatever extent, if not at the top of the draft, if they can't go get JJ, they're going to be in it. They're going to be thinking about it, moving back into the first round, maybe for a Bo Nix, for a Penix Jr., depending on how it breaks down. And then they will all the way to 107. They will be in the conversation for quarterback. And if we want to try to construct this thoughtfully after that, no, thank you. All the other prospects at the QB position are not going to be worth our time. And that's been kind of the perception that like Rattler represents the last viable candidate to be developed into a starter potentially. So the Giants did their due diligence on every single QB that they think could be brought in, developed, and turned into their next franchise guy. I have real pause around the idea that they would invest pick 107 in Spencer Rattler to have him come in and say, this is going to be the future franchise guy. I don't think Joe Shane at that point would bother putting in draft capital on him. They just say, yeah, we wanted to get our guy. We couldn't get there. And we'll go ahead and we'll retool going into next season. That being the case, Andy, next up is wide receiver. And we, yes, get a ton of information out of these top 30 visits and really can paint a much even clearer and stronger picture, we think, about what Joe Shane and the Giants intend to do. We'll get into that in just one moment. Oh, Andy, if we could have gone back and just said, Rome Odunze, that's the only thing we're ever going to talk about. We don't even need to talk about anybody else. Maybe we would have. All this QB buzz and trade backs and trade ups, it's certainly viable, could be possible. But again, top 30 visits. Andy, list all of the wide receivers that the Giants brought in after Neighbors and after Rome Odunze.
Okay, I'm going to go check my notes a little bit. Clearly, yeah, there's got to be a lot, you know, 30 visits, right? They have this glaring need. They have this glaring need at wide receiver, yeah, like clearly.
Darius Slayton, you know, we don't know what's going on with him.
Darius Slayton now asking out. So clearly, how many? They probably brought in like five or six. Let me just check notes. Okay, so they brought in one other wide receiver, and his name is Tajon Palmer, a fifth or sixth year wide receiver out of UAB, the powerhouse that is UAB.
I think he was born in 85 like me, right?
Yeah, yes, he I can't even say, I was going to say he's 68 years old. He's looking for a coaching position, but Adam, we'll go into
Tajon Palmer. He's looking for something to do in his retirement years. He wants to stay active. It's important.
But I say that tongue in cheek because I actually like Tajon Palmer the more I looked into it. Now, yeah, before I get into all of the things about Tajon Palmer, he is projected as the 44th best wide receiver on NFLDraftDiamond.com. He's not even listed as a wide receiver in the top 50 of NFL Draft Buzz. Mm-hmm. He's ranked as the 322nd best prospect on 33rdteam.com, which is another draft website. He is a diamond in the rough. He is the Trey Hawkins of this year's top 30 visits, Adam. But because they only brought him in, he's going to be a sixth, seventh undrafted type of player that the Giants are looking at. Because of this, the only other wide receivers the Giants brought in, as you mentioned, were Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze. Does that tell you anything? Does that inform you of anything about the Giants' plans?
Well, we say smoke, mirrors, and otherwise, right? Listen, you invest in a lot in trying to look at all positions, but if you only, essentially, the only other visit outside of top 30, which is listed here, was a combine visit with Brendan Rice, pedigree, right? A little legacy there for the Jerry Rice son. That was a weird way to phrase that sentence. Other than that, though, they didn't. So we're taking a wide receiver at six. Like, I mean, that seems to be the indication here. And then understanding, not only did Marvin Harrison Jr. not participate at the combine, he stayed away from it, blah, blah, blah. And you don't think you have a chance to get him anyway. That's the other thing I think this tells you. You would have moved heaven and earth to try to talk to Marvin Harrison Jr. if he was willing to, if you thought there was a better than 0% chance that he's going to get beyond Arizona, which goes back to the top and the QBs and the trade-ups and all these conversations that happen. But they talked to Neighbors. They talk to Odunze. It does feel like for a team that clearly needs a number one weapon, one of two things. I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Andy. One, that it's about getting a wide receiver at six. And if not a wide receiver at six, in spite of the draft class being deep, because of other positional needs that we'll talk about this week, maybe it's a little bit about going to the trade market. Maybe there are those conversations about a T. Higgins, right? And other players, a Brandon Ayuk, that they think, hey, if we can't get the elite talent here, then we're actually going to pivot to getting an elite talent that we know is established and not some of these players that are good, but certainly don't check the boxes the way these top elite players do in this draft.
I couldn't agree more with you. I couldn't agree more. Shut down the podcast. It's all over. We've done our jobs. Pat ourselves on the back. Go get yourself a cup of coffee. But to your point, the Giants know that they need a wide receiver number one. They don't need a guy that projects as a wide receiver three. They have a lot of guys that are wide receiver twos and threes. When you talk about Wandale Robinson, you talk about Jalin Hyatt in terms of where they are in their game today. If they decide not to go with Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers, they clearly need to go figure it out elsewhere. I have brought up the name Courtland Sutton countless times because he fits a lot of what the Giants need to do. Skill set, size, contract. Obviously, Denver wants to potentially move off of him to get his contract off the books. He makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Ayuk. Do the Giants want to give up maybe a future first-round pick to get their guy? They're going to have to do it if they don't go Odunze or Nabers. I don't think they live in a world where in the third round, they're looking at Xavier Legette as the savior for the Giants to come in and be the alpha number one guy.
And I think as we'll talk about other positions here and visits that came in, it's also about what else do we need, right? We need a cornerback. We know we maybe need some depth on the other defensive side positions. We know we need other offensive. We know we maybe need running back, tight end, you know, offensive line depth. There's a lot of things that we'd like to improve. And even though it is a deep wide receiver class, you have to ask, yes, but better than getting X, right? More important than getting Y. So I did find that fascinating. When you broke down the top 30 visits, I was a little surprised. Now, by the way, the Giants draft other players that aren't top 30, like in their top 30 visits.
Of course.
But you're going to trust your board a lot more there. And I think what will be interesting when it comes to wide receiver, because I'll ask you this question. It seems like, yes, they want to get Rome Odunze or bust, right? The other thing that you brought up, and I'm not trying to steal your thunder here, is like, don't forget Darius Slayton. We're not entirely sure. And I listened to a really good show the other day that was saying, for the Giants, we'll wait and see what happens in the draft, right? We get our elite number one, and Darius Slayton says he wants to move on. Maybe that is viable. We can't get our number one wide receiver. All of a sudden we say, well, maybe we'll work something out. Let's do a little extension with you, Darius. We do need you here in the short term. And if they move on from him, then I think it would open up saying, deep wide receiver class, we're in the fourth round, 107 or even 166. Now we just start talking about BPA, best player available. And if a wide receiver falls there, that's where I think they would start to, you know, go away from quote unquote what their top 30 was telling them.
Yeah, you'd think that the Giants are holding on to Darius Slayton saying, we'll hold off on extension or trade talks until we figure out what our team looks like. And that's basically after pick number six. If the Giants get the wide receiver that they want, you could very easily see them turn around to, I don't know, his buddy Brandon Bean up in Buffalo and say, what would you give me for Darius Slayton? He could immediately be the best wide receiver room and be with Josh Allen over there. Would you give me a fourth round pick for him? Then all of a sudden it kind of resets things. You have your number one. You can use that fourth round asset to go fill other holes. But to this point, we mentioned Darius Slayton holding out. We don't know how serious it's going to be. We'll see, you know, upcoming if he's really going to dig his heels in and say, I'm not showing up until I have a new deal. But that's why I find the Tayshaun Palmer situation out of UAB and bringing him in really fascinating. I won't go too crazy over this because, yes, it is a guy that's projected towards the back end. But I feel like out of the top 30 visits, he feels like the guy that is most likely to end up with the Giants based on being the 322nd draft pick, not having any other top 30 visits, and what he presents, size-wise and skill-wise. So, Adam, if you can humor me for a second, I will give you the one-minute rundown on Tayshaun Palmer, and you can tell me how you feel about this as a 6th, 7th undrafted guy to come in as a backup for Darius Slayton if Darius Slayton ends up leaving.
Crush it.
Okay. He's 6'2", 210 pounds. He ran a 4.5 40. He is a big-bodied wide receiver. His best skill and attribute is clearly contested catches. Sam Ackam of NFL Draft Diamond did a great job breaking this down on YouTube. His body position, his body control is awesome. He is also a super freak athlete, Adam. He's willing to be like, he's a willing blocker in the run game. Being a big body, big size guy, that is huge for the Giants. In terms of his RAS score, so he wasn't invited to the combine, but he did his pro day. He scored a 9.57 out of 10. It ranked 146th out of 3,400 wide receivers dating back to 1987. He is a crazy, crazy athlete that can go up and get the ball and blocks and does all of the right things. Now, his challenges, and why you say, well, Andy, that sounds great. Sign me up. Why
top 10,
is he,
top 10 pick.
Why is he almost undrafted? Because they say that his separation off the line and some of his route running needs polish, and he needs a little bit more to his game as opposed to just being a big-bodied athlete. Funnily enough, they asked him who he models his game around and who he thinks he's most similar to. He said, you know, I'm a mix of Devontae Adams and A.J. Brown. You know, that's kind of how I look at myself. And meanwhile, A.J. Brown,
if I off the cuff were to name a couple of guys, I think I might be a little bit like
two Pro Bowl All-Pro freaks of nature. Yeah. And like Devontae Adams, the ironic thing is, he's one of the best guys off the line in NFL history in terms of his juke moves, his separation, his like way that he goes about like tackling an opponent, like going after the opponent and strategically off the line. That is the area where I think, you know, Tayshaun Palmer needs to actually get better. But Adam, I feel confident in saying that he is going to be a New York Giant after the draft, just knowing that where he's projected to be drafted and the type of player he can be, as well as the needs of the New York Giants, especially after what Darius Slayton has come out and done.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's good to have your eyes on undrafted free agents, right? Sometimes the things that you do here are bringing in guys so you can say, hey, we want to have a conversation with you about our plans in the draft, right? We hear this all the time, especially as you get into that last day of the draft, we get into the sixth round, the seventh round, you start to hear all the coverage is always about, here's a guy, you start to make the phone calls ahead of time, because what happens? The second the draft ends, all of a sudden you hear, boom, 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 players getting signed, undrafted priority free agents, we want to bring you in. And if you are some of these players at the back end, whether it's going to be a wide receiver or otherwise for the Giants, you think about it as, it's better for me. I don't want to be drafted seventh. I don't want to be Mr. Irrelevant. I get locked into a bum contract. Bring me in as an undrafted free agent. Let me see if I can make a spark for myself. Get me into camp, and I kind of control my own destiny. So I'm happy to have the conversation around a player like this. I think I point out, as I always want to, Bryce Ford Wheaton is coming back healthy. He's going to be in the mix here too, even with him. Bryce Ford Wheaton, Isaiah Hodgins, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt. Yes, they have Gunner. He's primarily going to be working as that special teamer return man. Like, there's a lot of things to figure out here. Brought in as Isaiah McKenzie, have Miles Boykin. Like, there's names in this room, not exactly names that you know or think will be a big contributor. So I would earmark him as undrafted priority. I would not put him as a late draft pick, because I just don't think it's not worth it. Why waste the capital on him? But get him into camp, see if he sparks, and he'll certainly be an interesting guy to watch. Most importantly is that because it feels like the Giants either, again, if the best player available falls to them, that's going to be interesting. But by and large, we're going to try to address this thing early in the draft, and then we'll try to flesh some things out, because the thing they've missed is the number one. And if you're Joe Shane, by the way, I've drafted a second round wide receiver. I've drafted a third round wide receiver. Now I want to get my elite talent in the room, and I kind of complete my set.
You know, you brought up Bryce Ford Wheaton. It's a good comp. He obviously suffered a torn ACL in the preseason game last year, missed the whole entire year. He's a 6'4", 225, big bodied, strong guy. He does actually fit the same profile as Tayshaun Palmer, which is interesting, but maybe they bring him into your point sixth, seventh round. Those guys are competing. What does Bryce Ford Wheaton's health look like? I'm excited to be able to bring him into the room. It feels like we need some new faces, and that's why the Giants have moved on from the Colin Johnsons and others that have been in the room for a while. But Adam, listen, these top 30 visits at the end of the day are very informative, especially with Joe Shane's track record. And so for me, I look at a guy that is an outlier like Tayshaun Palmer and think, put that one in your back pocket so that when in the sixth or seventh round, or when you hear the signing, you're like, oh, they have familiarity with this guy. Why did they do it? We already have the answers to those questions.
We will be, of course, as we lead towards draft night, putting out some of those little profiles. And one of the guys that was not in the top 30 visit, but I'll tell you, I will be doing a profile on, is going to be one Cornelius Johnson, the wide receiver out of Michigan. He is one of those athletic type of players, ran a 4.440 while being 6'3" and 212 pounds, 5-6 round range. Like, those are the kind of guys we're going to talk about here, specifically when it comes to wide receivers beyond those elite talents at the top, as well as every other position. Andy, trivia for you as we get out the door. Almost forgot to do it, but I want to make sure. Does Andy know, top of his head, when we say, who are the top five on NFL.com graded prospects coming into Thursday night's draft? Can you hit them for me?
Ooh, that's a good question. All right. If I'm going to have to guess, I'm going to give it a shot. In no particular order, I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, Joe Alt, Brock Bowers, and I don't know if I'm close. Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is in there. Marvin Harrison Jr. is in there. Caleb Williams is in there. The number one graded prospect on NFL.com is Malik Nabers, 6.86 prospect. The number two is Marvin Harrison Jr., 6.83. The third highest graded, tied with Caleb Williams, is Roma Dunze, 6.74 prospect grade, right behind Caleb. Jaden Daniels at 6.73. And guys like Brock Bowers, he's right there, about seventh, 6.71. So those guys are there. If you want Joe Alt, though, man, he's a 6.49 prospect, man. He's outside the top 10. I wouldn't even, honestly, I might not even waste a first-round pick on the guy.
Jeez. Yeah, well, who would do that? You know, not an offensive line needy team like the Giants, for sure.
No. But as the reminder, those are wide receivers that we talk about. Top three graded players in the draft, and the Giants could sit at six and get one of those elite talents. Roma Dunze is where we've planted our flag. All the rest of the week, we said bonus prospects, video coverage, breaking down some of their tape. Look out for those. We'll get into the other top 30 visits that happened here from running back. There's another position that I mentioned over the course of this offseason that does seem to have gotten some traction here with these visits as well. Defensive line. I'll just go ahead and tell you now. We'll be breaking down all those, what it means, and shaping the rest of this draft before we get to Thursday night, where, yes, we will be doing some live coverage and reactions to what happens at the top of the draft. Hopefully, it's a feeding frenzy for the sake of all. Get us over on YouTube at One Giant Podcast. Get us over on X at One Giant Podcast, at AMAC214, and at Adam Armbrecht. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Until next time, until the best times, as Andrew Mackowitz would want, need, and demand the people know.
As always, let's go Big Blue.